We're joined now by Danny Heitman, and last Sunday he wrote eloquently about the loss of a friend, Kurt Eysink, who was an advocate reporter himself. 3 weeks ago, he was on the road between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and Danny, let's start there. At the age of 53, a man with no known health issues had a major episode that ultimately took his life.
Good morning, Jim. Yes, apparently Kurt had some sort of cardiac episode while he was driving to New Orleans on 3 weeks ago.
Today.
And he managed to pull off of the road. Paramedics responded. Kurt had stopped breathing. They revived him, took him to Our Lady of the Lake Medical Center, where he stayed about a week. There was some hope that Kurt would recover, but unfortunately he had a stroke while he was in the hospital, a massive stroke, and he left us.
And that shows how fleeting life can be. Here's a guy who was full of energy, vitality, goodwill, good cheer, great family, and then ultimately in a stroke of fate, he's gone.
That's true. I would also add to all those goods that Kurt was probably the most good-looking man in Louisiana, if not America. I always remember the first time I met Kurt in, when I walked into the Advocate newsroom in 1986, and I was a young single intern, and Kurt was also a young single intern.
Same age,
and I was immediately just filled with despair because I thought, I am never going to get a date in Baton Rouge as long as Kurt Eysink is living in Baton Rouge. But and then whenever I met him at the water cooler and heard his exotic South African accent, I thought, gosh, a good-looking guy with an accent, this is getting even worse. And I held out hope that maybe somebody this good-looking would perhaps not be too bright, and those hopes were dashed as well because Kurt was exceptionally intelligent. So, but Kurt soon met the love of his life, Dion Nodier, and they married and had three beautiful children. And their family's always been a model to me of what a family should be, and our thoughts and our prayers continue to be with the Eysink family.
Well, death is always an adjustment, but especially so when it's unexpected. And I would imagine 3 weeks ago today, if you'd asked you or me how long Kurt Eysink would live, we'd say at least another 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. I thought that Kurt and I would be sitting in rockers having a beer, you know, in 30, 35 years. But his loss is just been a deep reminder to all of us of how precious life can be and the need to live every day to its fullest. And that is something I'm going to try to continue to carry with me as a legacy for Kurt.
He made the adjustment well, going from being a journalist to being a person journalists covered. Sometimes that transition is not an easy one, but he did it well.
I think the same skills that Kurt had as a journalist, which was he had exceptional analytic skills. I think that those skills served him well. He was also a great communicator, and I think that skill served him as well as he led the Louisiana Workforce Commission.
Kurt Eysink, 53 years old, and as I stated, no known health conditions. I guess that's a wake-up call to all of us of a certain age that we should at least find out if we're doing well as we should, because you never know. You never know.
Absolutely. And Kurt did work in healthcare policy for Louisiana Healthcare Quality Review, I believe, and I'm sure Kurt would encourage all of us to be mindful of our health.
He was a guy who came to Baton Rouge, and he certainly conquered it. This was his town.
He certainly did. Kurt lived in many places around the world as he followed his family. His father worked in the petroleum industry, and I think Kurt, when he came to Louisiana and ended up going to LSU to study, I think he brought with him a sense of how large the world is, and he certainly brought that insight into his work at the Louisiana Workforce Commission. He thought of the world as a global marketplace, and I think his great passion was to make Louisiana workers more competitive with workers around the world.
A listener notes that you described in some detail the accident. He didn't collide with any vehicles, but he had an episode, and through maneuvering of his own, as he was obviously faltering, he made sure no one else was injured in the process.
It's really a miracle that no one else was hurt, as Kurt's body failed and he pulled off the road, and that is just such an enormous blessing. I know Kurt would be gratified to know that, and I hope that it is some comfort to his friends and his family that no one else was hurt as Kurt had this tragic episode.
How difficult is it writing about a friend?
My mother was a florist, and she would often have to make flower arrangements, funeral arrangements for friends and relatives who were close to her. And I tell people that is how it feels to write about someone that you know and you love. You feel that it is an obligation, and it is a privilege to do so, but it's also emotionally difficult. But I hope in some small way that what I do can bring comfort to other people.
Well, I'm sure Kurt would be very happy with what you wrote about him.
Well, thank you, mm-hmm. Jim.
And it happens, but when it happens to somebody close to us, it's personal, and there were a lot of people. It wasn't just you. A lot of people were close to Kurt Ising.
He had so many friends and so many from so many walks of life, and Kurt fell ill on a Monday. We had the funeral service for Kurt the following Monday, and as I mentioned in my column, this is a reminder that Mondays and every day that we live are precious, and thank God it's Monday. I'm glad to be here with you, Jim, my dear friend, and let's just all thank God for this day that we have and the chance to connect with friends and family and all those things we treasure.
You wrote to close your tribute to Kurt, "I'm trying in the wake of his passing to think of each new Monday as something not merely to be endured but embraced. If thank God it's Monday becomes my new mantra, I'll have Kurt Ising to thank for making it happen."
I thought about that this morning when the alarm clock went off and there was bad news coming over the radio from around the world. I thought, in spite of the world's problems, it is still a gift to be alive.
And over the weekend, a young 18-year-old young man who was the quarterback for McKinley High School died. He was shot to death, and unfortunately, it was the second time he was shot, and apparently an exceptional young man, but he is gone at the age of 18, which once again shows how fleeting life is and how occasionally violent our city can be.
My son is now at the Louisiana School for Math, Science, and the Arts in Natchitoches, but he spent his freshman year at McKinley. They have a marvelous gifted program there. So we feel very close to the McKinley High School community, and I was just shaken to my core by the news of this young man being shot. That is just a tragic loss, and our thoughts and our prayers are with this young man. It's heartbreaking to think he was so close to graduation and lost his life in such a senseless act.
Bryant Lee was his name. Also, I want to make note of a longtime volunteer for WRKF, Elizabeth Griffith, who I had the pleasure of working with for 3 years when I was the station manager, and many others who are at RKF then and now remember her quite reverently. She died last week at the age of 91, a great life, but no matter how old somebody is when they're gone, there's a void, and hats off to Elizabeth Griffith, and one of her children is the famed Dr. Brian Griffith, who does a lot of orthopedic surgery on major athletes. Ray in Prairieville's been waiting for a little while, and I want Ray to come in before we part company with Danny. Ray, good morning. You're on WRKF.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. And I'd like to say hello to Daddy. I've only talked to him once or twice, but it's always interesting to hear his viewpoints. I do like the importance of mentioning the checks that we ought to have so that we can possibly avoid some of these heart attacks and that kind of thing. And I'd like to emphasize the importance of Danny mentioning that kind of thing. I'll take my answer off the air, Jim. Thank you.
All right. Danny, what do you think? Everybody should be checked. I don't know that Kurt had not been, but...
Sure. And unfortunately, sometimes health events happen in spite of our best efforts to do all the right things, and that's just an unfortunate part of life. But certainly as we age, and especially men, you know, men tend to be in denial about going to the doctor and think it's a sign of weakness to have their health reviewed. It's certainly important for all of us to do that. But all those things being said, sometimes things just happen, unfortunately.
Well, Danny, you are dealing with this in a way that a friend would, but you noted his wife and his children. He had quite a family, and this has to have touched them in a most profound way.
I think the strength and resilience that the ISINC family demonstrated during the week that Kurt was in the ISINC was a demonstration of grace to everybody who witnessed it, and it's a gift that I will always carry.
877-217-5757. We're going to keep Danny for just a little bit longer, and Kurt ISINC was a man of great cheer. You said you met him when he was 22, so you knew him for 30 years. You saw him grow from a kid to a man, and that process sometimes... is a little more smooth for some than others, and based on what we know, what I know, and you knew him much better, it was very smooth for Kurt.
I saw Kurt the Friday before he fell ill, and he was tan, and he was energetic, and he was vital, and that was Kurt ISINC. I would also mention briefly that the Baton Rouge Area Foundation has established a fund in Kurt's honor. And anyone who wants information on how to support that fund, I would just encourage them to call Baton Rouge Area Foundation at 225-387-6126, or they can visit braf.org and connect with the good folks there.
Danny, you write editorials, and we've had, unfortunately, much to write about in the last year in particular, the last 7 months or 10 months in particular. How is that process for somebody like you who has to write about any number of things that are happening locally and nationally, but when sometimes the biggest stories in the world are right in our backyard?
Last summer, and I think I speak for everybody in Baton Rouge, last summer when we think about it, it seems like a dream. It seems like an extended nightmare that we went through with the Elton Sterling shooting, the loss of those police officers. Excuse me. And then the terrible flooding. It was terrible. We had folks calling, Baton Rouge journalists from all across the world. The BBC, I was on the BBC a couple of times to talk about the events in Baton Rouge, and it was difficult to even maintain my composure to talk about it because I love this town. This Baton Rouge has been extremely generous to me, and whenever Baton Rouge hurts, excuse me, I hurt too.
So. Well, thank you for joining us today, and thanks for remembering Kurt ISINC in a most compelling way. Thank you, Danny Heidman.
Sure. Bye-bye.